Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun. Follow the Utah Grizzlies on Facebook for the latest on weekend home games, or visit utahgrizzlies.com for more. Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun.
I'm Henry Glasheen, digital content coordinator for Slug Magazine, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, lifestyle, arts, and events. In this episode, we'll be talking to Stephen Chai, lead singer and founder of the No Nation Orchestra. The No Nation Orchestra was formed by Stephen Chai in 2007 as a side project when he wasn't busy with Laserfang. When that band broke up in 2010, Chai immediately went to work putting together a 12-piece band to form what was then Stephen Chai and the No Nation Orchestra. The band released their debut EP, More, 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 in September of 2011, receiving much praise from the music community as well as radio play on NPR. Shortly after the release, the band went into a hiatus while other members took on various projects. Chai himself spent a minute playing synth and Night Sweats before they disbanded. In early 2014, the band reformed to play a one-off show at the Stateroom, shortly reforming thereafter and recording their second EP, Coil, which was released this past November. We'll be listening to Slug writer Allison Shepherd, who had an opportunity to interview Stephen Chai last week. But first, we're going to be playing tracks from their 2014 EP, Coil. This first track is called Past Shadows.
Thank you.
just heard Past Shadows off the band's 2014 EP, Coil. Let's hear Slug writer Allison Shepard's interview with Stephen Chai, conducted in our podcast studio.
So do you want to tell me, kind of, for people that don't know, what you're all about?
Yeah, No Nation Orchestra is it's a 12-piece group, very Afrobeat inspired. So that's like Fela Kuti, polyrhythms, horn section, lots of percussion, things like that. But obviously, we've kind of got our own take on it. We've been doing it for a few years. It's really fun, and it's fun to come see. I mean, there's just a lot of, with 12 people on stage, it's hard not to get some energy up there.
What has changed musically since the More, More, More EP that you released in 2011?
A lot. That one was actually, we started that as, it was going to be a solo project. I had written some songs while another group, a majority of us were in, called Laser Fang, was kind of doing a hiatus. I had written some songs, a lot of songs. I write a lot of songs, and then three or four end up being good. I felt passionate about these and wanted to record them, so we went in and recorded them. And it was actually four of us that recorded everything in there. So, I mean, it's got a big full sound. We've still got a horn section, lots of extra percussion and everything. But there wasn't a group. So we recorded it like that, kind of thinking it was going to be that sort of a project. Let's record it and be done and be happy and, you know, give it to our friends. Mm-hmm. And once we were done with that, we kind of thought, well, shit, we might as well have a show. So we thought, okay, what are we going to need to do to pull this off? Started looking at some logistics. And then, you know, 12 people later, we've got a big group. And so that's been a lot of a learning experience, you know, how to handle that many people, even just the logistics of getting that many people in this room at the same time. But how to handle that, I think we've kind of come into a better understanding of how to work with that many people in a group musically. Now that we've all been playing with each other for a bit more, you know, we know each other musically, so we're more of a group than a collection. And then we've learned how to play to the strengths and weaknesses of that. It's become more of a group, and so it's become far more cohesive. You know, we've got killer players all around, and I've learned a lot from them. We've got guys in there that have doctorates in music and all sorts of crazy things, and so, you know, we've taken a lot of that in, working on the arrangements, thinking through a little bit more from a live perspective how we can do this rather than a studio perspective where you're like, okay, shit, let's throw in a piano, no big deal. Whereas, you know, with a live group, you gotta have to think that through a little bit better. And then musically, I think it's just settled a little bit more. It's starting to get into some moodier stuff, but some groovier stuff as well. Just kind of as tastes change and interests change, it's kind of developed. I think it's matured. It's pushed out there. I think we're not afraid to kind of have some fun with it, play to some strengths, mm-hmm. go out there on some songs, stay tight on some songs, let there be crazy, weird, psychedelic solos in the middle of songs, or just like keep it streamlined. So kind of focusing in on those, but still keeping to the core, which is, you know, very much rhythmically generated. That's kind of the core of it, where it comes from, and that's kind of the basis of how at least I approach a song, is I need that rhythm underneath, and then we can start building the layers on top and taking them away and bringing them back in. So it's evolved. That was the long answer. The short answer is it's evolved.
And would you say that your songwriting process has also evolved with it, or has it kind of stayed the same?
That's a yes and a no, too. my general process is just kind of finding an inception point, whether it's a rhythm or a drum beat. Lots of times I'll just like scour a Fela Kuti song or like a Can song to find a section where there's just the drums, and those are two of my favorite drummers out of groups. And maybe build from there, maybe slice it up and kind of rebuild it a little bit. But from there, I just kind of build out and then come back in and then build out and come back in and edit and think about things until it starts getting into a direction and a cohesiveness. And so that's kind of always been the same. And I still approach things in that same way. I generally don't write a song from start to end. I might start with the middle and then have to figure out the beginning. But the thing that has changed, the yes part of that, is that I write them with players in mind. I write parts with orchestrations in mind, rather than thinking, what does the song need right here? You know, I'm thinking, what does the song need that we have in the group right now? So, like, these are the pieces that I have to build with. Let's figure out how to leverage those rather than just anything's on the table. Just from more of a logistic standpoint, I mean, it's a crazy enough thing, so we got to figure out how to keep it cohesive and keep it simple. So, you know, we're not asking people to bring two different horns and, hey, you're on percussion this song and then you're on this song. And that's a sound guy's nightmare, and we're already a sound guy's nightmare with 12 guys. So some of the logistics actually come into play, but I think it helps us write better songs just from a songwriting perspective. I think they, because they have to fit those requirements, they have to be better, stronger songs that can stand alone by themselves.
So what is your favorite element on the new EP?
I think my favorite thing is that it's a group now. And you can hear that. It sounds much more alive. I think we did a great job with the other one, but you know, a lot of that, because it's four people tracking in the equivalent of 12 people, you're not able to track in large groups of things at the same time. So it's hard to vibe off each other. And this one definitely, it feels more like that, like a horn section rather than one guy playing all the horns. Because he's gonna stylistically do it the same every time, because that's your nature. And so that's my favorite part, is that it just comes together and feels like a group. And that's exciting for me, because that's kind of, I like to get creative people, brilliant people, put them together and make things that none of us could make by ourselves. You know, there's some guidelines, some format that we're trying to fit just so that we all know where we're at. But largely, you know, I like to kind of say, hey, that's the target, and then lose control. And that's what we did with the artwork too, and that turned out amazing as well. So
right, the artwork is beautiful, I will say that, on both albums, but this one especially.
Yeah.
What inspired the new EP? I know that's a really broad question, and there were probably about 1,000 things that did, but if there was one or a couple main elements.
The songs range in approach and what they're about and those kind of things, but I did try to keep them all together, at least threaded together somehow. So there's some consistent imagery in them, some themes. Overall, you know, I'd have to say I'm a selfish songwriter. I write songs for myself. Both because I enjoy it and because it's kind of a bloodletting kind of thing. It's something I need to get out. It's something I need to express, or maybe I don't even know I need to get it out. There's an itch that needs to be itched, and I'm constantly trying to find that. And when I can, it's amazing. I mean, that's the rarity though. You know, oftentimes you've got a vision of what you want to do. Do you end up at exactly that vision? No, that doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it does, and that's awesome. And sometimes it does, and then you realize, man, my vision was crap. But the overarching themes, I think, are just, it's a very introspective album. A lot of these things are thinking about on strong emotions or strong things that reoccur in my life, things that had large impacts. There's some imagery and some songs directed towards when my father died. Thinking about those in different ways, and kind of how that hasn't been a solid memory. It's changed and it's evolved, and the feelings about it change and evolve. And I think a lot of that kind of might be the common theme, is that as you think about things and look at things, they're not the same. The events might have happened the same, but 5 years ago from now to 10 years ago, they feel very different. And so the emotions and the memories are alive in a sense, I guess.
Okay. Would you say it's kind of a release or an exploration of the subconscious? Exploring things that you maybe didn't try to?
No, I think more of it's just getting it out, mm-hmm. and putting it in words. The words are hard for me. I'm very particular and generally think all my lyrics suck from the get-go. It's more of getting it in some format. And then the music is the format. The words aren't the format. But trying to take something as complex as a memory and emotion and put it down in a format that someone else can read, and they're not gonna have the same memory or emotion to it, but that's part of the beauty. It's creating something to express something from me and to get, hopefully, some interest and expression from someone else.
Awesome. What, if any, are your future plans or goals for the group?
Got the release show coming up. So that's the immediate goal. That's coming up towards the end of the month. We should be finalizing that here in just real quick. It's a tricky thing because there's so many people that we really can't tour around, and we're all old and have jobs, and we're not you can't just put in your 2 weeks at the coffee shop anymore and then come back and find a new one. But we just want to keep making music. Mm-hmm. My favorite part, honestly, is making it and creating it. Then recording it and performing it. It's fun, but that's not my favorite part of it, to be honest. I just like to create. So hopefully, we keep creating, and that's a nebulous goal, but yeah.
It's a good goal.
Yeah, keep creating and to play shows along the way. We don't have any anticipation of being a crazy band that you can go see any other weekend or something. Mm-hmm. Just there's too many moving parts for that to even be possible. So we want to keep creating, and we want to keep evolving. I can't put the same album out again and again. I just don't think, I might make it better and better every time, because the more times you do something, hopefully the better you get at it. But I like to change and evolve and push things in different directions. I've been writing some new stuff that pushes in some different directions already. It seems like it fits, but it's different. So trying to balance all that while making sure people can hear it too. So when they say, when someone hears it, they can hear the evolution, or they can get it there. So mm-hmm. creating and letting people hear it and see it and be a part of it.
Those are good goals. Keep it real. Yeah. Keep it simple. Keep it pure.
There's
a great goals.
There's no furniture involved.
What are you most proud of on this EP? Or if you don't want to talk about that, we can talk about what are you most proud of musically. Or they can be both the same thing.
There's a lot of things, like specifics that I love. There's a lot of like overarching things that I love. Some of the songs are songs I've probably tried to write a few or four times and have never got and finally been able to get out. Honestly, the thing I'm the most proud about is that we actually did it, because it's a lot of work, and it's not financially rewarding work. It's internally rewarding work. So the fact that we can do that, that's what I'm proud of, that we did. It takes a lot of effort, and case in point, we've been working on this thing for far too long. We recorded two songs, and then all sorts of crazy stuff happened, and then we tabled it for a little bit and then recorded two more. We're talking over, multiple years here. So just getting it done, that's what I'm excited about.
That's something to be proud of, I think, especially with 12 people. That has got to be a logistical nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Well, we touched on it for a second, but I always have to give mad kudos to Sri Whipple for doing the artwork, because he crushed it. I came at him. I just kind of gave him the songs. They weren't done mastering yet or even mixing yet, so they were in a kind of, you could hear what they were going to be. And I gave him those, and then I gave him concepts of what each song was, some of the imagery that was really important to me, or some of the things that I might be hinting to but not really saying. I might give him the explicit version, and I just said, hey, do what you want to do. And he came back, and he wanted to do one piece of art for every song, which was crazy. But he did, and he crushed it, and he did an amazing job. And then just a big thanks to everybody in the group and for doing an amazing job. We recorded it with Mike Sasich. He's in the group as well. And he recorded the first one. The dude's a miracle worker. So make sure I get in my proper respects. But to everybody in the group, to everybody that has been in the group, we've rotated through some players, people move, things happen. Check it out. That's the only thing I can say, is give it a listen, and we'd love to hear what you think about it.
Awesome. And then you kind of touched on the release party. Do you have any details for that yet?
We're looking at a date at the end of March. I'm still trying to confirm a couple of things with it, but likely it'll be at the end of the March on a weekend at Bar Deluxe.
Perfect. And then will it be on your Bandcamp or on your Facebook?
Yeah, we'll post all that stuff up there. Right now you can listen to it at nonationorchestra.com. You can order the vinyl even, or the old one. And then we're on Facebook. We're a little bit more on there than anything else. We've got a Twitter and stuff, but we're not that awesome at those. We're not that awesome at Facebook either, but at least we try to post the shows up there.
Right. As long as the show's up there.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Definitely.
All right. Perfect.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry. And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love
Hello, Sweetie.
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel.
We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook.
For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie.
Now that we're back from break, let's hear another track from the No Nation Orchestra's 2014 EP, Coil. This track is called Fall from Space into Time. just heard Fall from Space into Time off the band's 2014 EP, Coil. Visit slugmag.com to find links to download their albums and find more info on the No Nation Orchestra. Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter at @slugsoundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, John Ford, and myself, Henry Glasheen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples, and our main logo and art design was by Nicholas Dowd. The technical design was developed by Kate Colgan. Next week on the show, we'll be talking about veganism in Utah with Faith Ching of the Ching Farm Rescue and Sanctuary, as well as Rachel Cade from Frisch Eatery. Thanks for listening.